It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Wednesday, the 16th of March, 2022. This is for professional investors only, never ever investment advice. It's Fed hike day today, probably going to do 25 basis points this afternoon, unless they want to surprise the market by either doing nothing or perhaps a 50 basis point hike could be on the cards. But we do now have seven hikes priced in for 2022. That's 725 basis point hikes over the remainder of this year. Back in September last year, for the end of 22, we were pricing in less than one hike. At the start of the year, it was three hikes, got up to 6.5 in February, down below five as the Ukraine-Russia war kicked off. We're now, as I say, just over seven, so a new high for expectations for the end of 2022 in terms of rate hikes. Now, at the start to a hiking cycle, a rare Fed hiking cycle, I guess necessitates that Powell will be hawkish in his tone when he talks about the decision later on. There's also talk that we might get some more details about quantitative tightening and how that will work over the remainder of this year from the Fed. But the markets have got themselves pretty hawkish, expecting that hawkish rhetoric. The last few days we've seen big rises in bond yields. We're now at highest bond yields since the middle of 2019. So, not just back to where we were before COVID, but some while before that. And, if you look at 30-year US Treasury bond yields, now they're at 2.5%, just over 2.5%, up from below 1.7% at the beginning of December. So since then, there's basically been nearly a 20% capital fall in values of long-dated bond yields. Perhaps we should be seeing some impact on other assets that price themselves over bond yields. Haven't seen that to a huge degree over the past few days as a result of the rising bond yields. But it's a significant move, nearly 9% fall in that long bond in March alone. So this morning, yields are higher again. 10-year bunds, for instance, are up 6 basis points to positive 39 basis points. And this is being helped a little bit by some eroding of the flight to quality, the kind of safety asset value of highly rated government bonds. As good news, we've had some slightly more hopeful noises overnight around peace. So we've seen Zelensky talk about Ukraine never joining NATO, and talks are likely to at least accelerate to some extent, but I don't think there's a great deal of hope, but more hope than there was. So looking at overall value of government bonds now, have we hit a level where you can start saying they're interesting again? So the 10-year US Treasury is at 2.17%, which you may say isn't all that attractive with 7% CPI, annual CPI in the US. But what we can do is look at long-term values. So we can look at, the thing I like looking at is the 10-year forward rate, for instance. So this is saying, what is the 10-year US Treasury bond yield going to be in 2032? And, this isn't what's my guess, what's my forecast. This is using the shape of the US yield curve. So looking at the 10-year yield, looking at the 20-year yield, and calculating what that means for the yield in between. So in me being able to calculate what the 10-year US Treasury bond yield is going to be, according to the yield curve in 2032, I can then take a view on, what's going on and say that actually by then, hopefully the war will be over. Hopefully inflation will have stabilised at whatever new level or be in a new paradigm, whether that's higher, lower or the same. But certainly we won't be worrying about base effects or whatever that they may be in 2032. It'll be a new paradigm for inflation. And so we'll say, well, we can compare that yield. And at the moment, the 10-year forward rate yield is 3.13%. So as you can see, a lot higher, about 1% higher than the spot yield, the 10-year US Treasury bond yield. And I like comparing that to what the Fed says long-term Fed funds will be. So every time the Fed meets, they produce a dot plot. It has very short-term inflation expectations, interest rate expectations. And then each FOMC member says where they think long-term Fed funds will be. And at the moment, The most bearish, most hawkish Fed dot is around about 3%. So at the moment, and if you say that US Treasury bond yields are effectively the average of all the Fed funds rates over that maturity, so your 10-year yield is effectively the average of the next 10 years overnight Fed funds rates, then that 3% long-term Fed funds rate compares to 3.13 and suggests that even the most hawkish Fed member doesn't think necessarily that 10-year rate is sensible. You know, it looks too high compared to that. Having said that, I think that these long-term Fed funds rates, which ought to be driven by things like long-term inflation expectations, driven by technology, globalization, inflation, demand and supply of money, effectively, the interest rates, those kind of long-term, almost theoretical things, the Fed does change that chart too often, I think. You know, it does move it down when bond yields fall and moves it up when bond yields rise, and it hasn't yet started to move that up. And my guess is that we see a shift up in those long-term dots, which kind of brings that 10-year forward rate looking more in line with Fed's expectations than it does at the moment. But nevertheless, it's interesting. It's very rare to break out of a band around the Fed's long-term Fed funds expectations, and normally it's been quite a good buying or selling signal. So at the moment, it's suggesting there's some value in long-dated US Treasury bonds, but we might see a change to those dots later on today. Okay, Citigroup, the latest investment bank to cut its global growth forecasts and raise its global inflation forecast for this year. So for the globe as a whole, growth down 0.6 to 3.3, inflation up a massive 1.3% to 6.1, and some more downgrades, upgrades for 2023 as well. So next year, though, inflation is going to be 3.4% in their expectations, so about half what it is this year. But still higher than it has been over much of the recent past. Credit stabilised over the last couple of days, although still very slightly wider yesterday, despite better equity markets. So sterling and euro investment grade credit up a couple of basis points. Over the last month, it's up 25-30 basis points in spread, and year to date, around double that. High yield is up 78 basis points in Europe over the last month, 54 for US dollar high yield, and year to date 134 wider, 88 wider respectively. And emerging market sovereign dollar credit still at its wides, really. It is better today. It's 13 better on that better news overnight, but round about the wides at 327 basis points, of which the bulk of the widening is Russia and Ukraine itself. The most exciting news for bond fund managers over the past couple of days is the publication of Mary Child's new book. It's called The Bond King, and it's the Bill Gross story. I think she's interviewed pretty much everyone who's ever been involved in PIMCO and the Bill Gross story, you know, starting from his youth as a blackjack hustler in Las Vegas to becoming a bond trader to having his Bloomberg keyboard put behind plexiglass and put in the Smithsonian Museum. So as you remember, you know, he was called the Bond King by Fortune magazine in 2002 after PIMCO amassed, I think, nearly half a trillion of assets at one stage in his total return bond fund. Then began the battles with his kind of successor, Mohamed El Arian, and the eccentricities that I guess marked the end of his career, both at PIMCO and then afterwards at Janus Henderson. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting story about bonds, how bonds became not the boring asset class effectively that they were back in the 70s and before that, and became something that could be interesting, creation of corporate bond markets, mortgage-backed security markets, and of course lots of interesting personal anecdotes and so forth too. So I guess most bond fund managers will be reading that this weekend. I hope it's good. She's certainly a good writer, so I'm expecting it to be. Have good weeks. Catch you soon. Bye.